hello and welcome to the Informed Traveler Podcast, part of the Informed Traveler Radio Show, which is heard each week on Chorus Radio. It's a travel podcast where our goal is to help you become a more informed traveler. And I'm your host, Randy Sharman. On our podcast this week, in a few minutes, we'll head to Virginia Beach, Virginia, to visit the historic Cavalier Hotel and Beach Club, a place dating back to 1927 and has welcomed 10 U.S. presidents and luminaries from Frank Sinatra to Elizabeth Taylor. It really is a beautiful resort. Plus, later in the podcast, we'll get an update on what's new at Universal Studios Hollywood from a conversation we had a few weeks ago when we were in Orlando, Florida. But to start this week's podcast, we're going to discuss using the services of a travel agent to book your vacation versus doing it yourself using an online booking site. So joining us now to give us his take on it is our resident travel agent, Ken Stewart from Crowfoot Travel Solutions. Good day, sir.
Hello, Randy. Hello, everybody.
Let's talk about the differences between online travel companies, online travel agencies. These are companies like Expedia, Travelocity, and the like, versus using a human travel agent like yourself. Not that there's no humans that work at online travel agencies. They do have customer service people, but there's some myths around this, right? And I'm sure you get this asked all the time. What's the benefit of going to someone like yourself or another travel agent or a travel advisor?
Yeah, again, like especially with the newer clients since COVID, we get that question asked a lot. And our office in particular, and I'm hoping the other agents are doing it as well, is we're trying to educate the person how travel works in general. And then that way it gives you a better even idea and comparison how to use the online versus that. And nothing wrong with using online at all. Any travel agent worth their salt is going to be able to look up what you're looking at. And I would say 95 to 98% of the time, we're exactly the same price. Mm-hmm. There is no difference. We're looking at exactly the same thing. I know a few years back, Expedia actually created a travel agent side for their site. Mm-hmm. So that, again, we're looking at exactly the same thing you're looking at. And one, yes, if I book it, I make a little bit of money and keep my doors open. But the biggest thing to online is, like I say, comparing the pricing. It's almost identical, exactly the same all the time. But the difference with working with a travel agent, and yes, there is that myth out there that sometimes we're going to charge fees, and yes, sometimes we do, just depending on what it is that we're doing and everything like that. But again, it's not a large fee or anything. And we give you the opportunity at the end of the conversation to decide, okay, is there a value in that small fee that you're paying us? Because we're going to be booking it. We're going to be looking after with you. We have your back. If you have any issues or anything like that, with example, say Expedia, and you booked a hotel and it doesn't work out for you, and you have an issue there, there's a line that we can call so you're not sitting on the phone for 3 hours. We're sitting on the phone on our agent line, which is usually a little quicker and hopefully not for 3 hours. But again, you're able to go enjoy yourself when you book a all-inclusive vacation package. Well, you go down, you get to the resort. There's an issue with my room and my booking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I got to sit on the phone for 3 hours in the lobby, 4 hours in the lobby, trying to get a hold of somebody, get it all figured out and everything. Whereas if a travel agent books it, Randy's going to say, Ken, my room's all messed up here. Can you figure that out? I'm going for a margarita, a slice of pizza, and then I'm going to go hold down a beach chair. And, you know, so there's lots of benefits to that because, I mean, there's lots of wonderful – I mean, we book a lot on Expedia. We don't book a lot of the sites, for example, like Travelocity and different ones like that because they don't have a travel agent side. Mm-hmm. So to us, there's no real advantage to it because we don't have any access to give you additional support over and above what you're already going to have to do on your own.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of times, too, now with RVBO, which are very, very popular, we just used one. As I mentioned, we went down to Idaho here this past week, and we stayed there. There's 19 of us in our family. Worked wonderful. It was a great opportunity, really inexpensive and everything like that. A lot of the RVBO, and they're talking about it, is, again, getting a travel agent sign. When I say that, I mean that there's a site linked to that for travel agents that we can go into so we have access and look into everything you're looking at and everything, but an opportunity for us to work with them directly rather than having to go through third party. And that makes everything a lot easier. Expedia is one of the ones I know now. They're actually putting RVBOs and B&Bs and things like that on their websites for different locations. And that's really good and a safe place to book these because they've been vetted. So, you know, there's no worry about, hey, it's not a legitimate place, it's not anything like that.
But, it's like you say,
everything's fine and dandy. I can book things by myself. There's nothing wrong with it until something goes wrong or there's a mistake or there's a delay or a cancellation. And we've certainly seen a lot of those. And you don't want to be the one sitting on the line. Plus, you have special numbers and lines that you can phone Air Canada Vacations or WestJet or whoever that's dedicated to travel agents, right?
Exactly. And the other thing, like I say, we love people who love to book online. Because you're already educated, you understand how the process is pretty much working, everything like that. You've looked up. You know that if you're the, you know, the system is telling you 1,500 where you're looking at, and I come back at 2,000, well, there's got to be a difference why there's, you know, such a price difference. But if you're saying, you know, saying 1,500, and I'm saying, okay, with my fee or whatever, I'm 1,530, you have the choice at the end of that conversation to decide where you want to hit that enter button. And like you say, it's making mistakes or little things like that. You spell your name wrong.
Yeah.
You change, you know, sometimes when you're looking at something and you go back and then you change it just a little bit, the dates all of a sudden change and you might not notice that. So you all of a sudden you book something. So I always say, look online, find what it is you like. You need to click on it a couple of times because that first page is not always 100% correct when they're showing your pricing, especially for flights and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you click onto it, you're going to get to a page where they're going to want your name and they're going to be like us. They're going to say, I love you. I want your money. Please give me your credit card so we can book this for you kind of thing. And that confirms it actually is available. And then we say, take the 5 or 10 minutes like you and I are doing right now. Have a quick conversation. And again, decide where you want to book. And if you don't like what you're hearing from my side, you're not going to hurt my feelings if you book it online. But again, we're going to ask you a couple of questions, make sure, double-check the names, all that kind of stuff for you, so you're 100% looked after.
It's not always about the money. It's about what you get for your money, right?
And again, travel agents, we're here to look after you, work with you, assist you, all that kind of stuff from start to finish. And again, when we do it in our office, it's from the first conversation we have, like today on the phone, till the day you're back from your trip.
All about choices. Good to have choices. Ken Stewart from Crowfoot Travel Solutions. Thank you.
You're welcome, Randy. Have a great day, everyone.
Well, if you've ever been to Virginia Beach, you'll know that it's a beautiful area of Virginia. And part of that area is where you'll find the historic Cavalier Hotel and Beach Club. It's a beautiful area of Virginia Beach. So joining us now to tell us more about it is Michael Kokolis. He is the Director of Sales and Marketing for the Cavalier Resort. CavalierResortVB.com is the website. Hi, Michael.
How you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm really excited to learn about the historic Cavalier Hotel and Beach Club. Before we get into the history of it, because it's quite a rich history, let's just describe the area for our listeners, where it's located and those types of things.
Sure. So the resort as a whole is made up of three separate hotels, the historic Cavalier Hotel and Beach Club being the anchor, the Marriott Virginia Beach Oceanfront across the street, and the soon-to-be Embassy Suites Virginia Beach Oceanfront, which were slated to open here in the beginning of 2023. All combined, you've got three hotels that comprise the Cavalier Resort on the north end of the oceanfront area of Virginia Beach in Virginia.
So you're right on the ocean in Virginia Beach, and you have this beautiful, like, I know there's three resorts, but we're going to focus on the historic Cavalier Hotel and Beach Club, because of its rich history and the words Beach Club attached to it. So we'll see what we can get through. We'll probably won't get to everything in the time we have, but let's just talk about the history. Oh my goodness, what a story, hey?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the cornerstone for the hotel itself was actually laid back in May of 1926. It took about a year to construct and opened up its doors April 4th of 1927, back in the heyday when you had, all the golden age of cinema and the stars of stage and screen coming down and the who's who, really, coming down to vacation. And the hotel, it truly did put Virginia Beach on the map as far as a leisure and travel destination.
And quite a list of historic figures staying there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you've got 10 presidents of the United States that have called it, their haven for rest and relaxation. But I mean, every celebrity that you can think of throughout the decades go, from Jean Harlow to Judy Garland to Cab Calloway and Muhammad Ali, even. I mean, just the list goes on and on.
So what's it like today? It looks to me, and I'm looking at some of the pictures, and it looks absolutely gorgeous, that you've restored a lot of the original stuff. Tell me about that.
Oh, absolutely. So So when the hotel opened, it was actually a 195-room hotel. So if you can kind of wrap your mind around that a little bit, in 2014, a group of investors spearheaded by our company's CEO, Mr. Bruce Thompson, really saved the Cavalier, truly, as a historic icon. The hotel was for sale, and every bid that was put in for the property itself had plans of completely demolishing the hotel, except for the bid put in by the Cavalier Associates investment group, which, again, was led by our CEO, Mr. Bruce Thompson, and their bid was the only one that was outlined to save it and to renovate it and bring it back to its original glory. And anytime you have an endeavor like that with a historic property, you know, there's going to be a lot of surprises along the way as you start opening up some walls. And also, you know, it being a listed on the National Registry of Historic Places, in and of itself has its own challenges because of the way you have to renovate and restore is very meticulous. And, you know, down to numbering the bricks and the exact location of where they came from and putting them back right where they went. So with all of that combined, I mean, you went from a 195-room hotel back when it was constructed, and then when we renovated it, we actually condensed that to an 85-room hotel, which allowed us to expand the size of those rooms and suites and really give today's traveler a little bit of, you know, the classic touch with the history and everything that's still there and preserved with a modern day feel with a lot of the updates and upgrades. So, you know, almost $90 million later and 4.5 years later through the renovation process, we were able to reopen our doors in March of 2018 after, like I said, a 4.5 year shutdown to renovate and restore. And what you've got now is just something that is, I mean, it's so beautifully preserved, but it is, I believe that the renovation has taken it above and beyond where it first started back in the 20s when it was originally constructed. So it's a very exciting place. The Beach Club, which is in our name, the Historic Cavalier Hotel and Beach Club, is across the street, right on the Atlantic Ocean. It really provides the Cavalier guest a true oceanfront and beach club experience, and that beach club was an amenity that guests got to enjoy back in the late 20s and 30s and 40s before World War II. And every Sunday afternoon, they would have tea dances and things like that on the Cavalier Beach Club and radio broadcasts. One of three radio stations that was actually broadcasting coast to coast was broadcasting out of the Cavalier at that time. And from the 1930 to 1950, the Cavalier Beach Club was the largest contractor of big bands in the world. So everybody from Cab Calloway to Ella Fitzgerald to Frank Sinatra, Sammy Kaye, I mean, everybody who was anybody played the Cavalier Beach Club. And so we also restored that and brought that back into existence. And what you've got now is just an absolutely something reminiscent out of South Beach almost. I mean, when I take guests and prospective group clients over there to show them the space, the one thing that they say all the time is, Michael, if you blindfolded me and took the blindfold off right here at this beach club, there's no way in heck I would say that we are in Virginia Beach, Virginia, because it is absolutely breathtaking. It really is.
Well, that's one of the things you can enjoy. There's like just the area when you walk up to the building itself, the surrounding area, the greenery is amazing. The building's amazing. And when you walk inside, and I'm just going from the photos, it's spectacular. Like, I'd be afraid to touch something. It looks so elegant.
Well, my kids have been there, so I can tell you that you can touch things. It's not going to break. But no, it is. It is one of those places that it truly is just captivating. You walk in, and around every corner there is something just, you know, eye-opening, and the experience, and that's really the point, right? When you travel, it's about the experience. It's about the memories, and you can go to, you know, any hotel and get four walls and you know, room service or housekeeping, but if you're truly looking for an iconic experience, an experience that doesn't, you know, it seems to be fading away more and more as we, you know, streamline the travel industry. But this is, it's like, it's stuck in time almost, except it's got all the modern amenities and fantastic updates that came along with that total restoration.
So when's the best time to come to Virginia Beach? I would assume now the weather is quite warm there, but so what's it like in the winter months?
I'll tell you what, it's just like everywhere else. I think that a little bit in the mid-Atlantic to the southeastern part of the United States, we do experience more mild winters than what you would, certainly what you would experience.
Yes.
You know, it could be anywhere from, you know, your average is probably in the mid-40s, but, you know, I've been golfing in the middle of February. So it's absolutely something that it's a great time to come and experience because, as you mentioned, when you're in season, you know, June, July, August, obviously, we love having our travelers and people patroning the hotels and restaurants, but it is a busy season in the summertime. If you're looking for, you know, just great weather and maybe to avoid the crowds, you know, March, April, October, November, those are the months. I mean, this first and second week of November usually is when the foliage peaks in our neck of the woods. So if you know, just to put a little timeline on that, I mean, you're really looking at 70-degree weather still in those first couple weeks of November without the crowds.
Nice. Well, the words can't describe it. We did our best, but I think it's best for people to go on the website, CavalierResortVB.com, and check out the historic Cavalier Hotel and Beach Club, the photos, because the photos are amazing. Michael Kokolas is the Director of Sales and Marketing for the Cavalier Resort. Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
If you recall, a few weeks back, we were in Orlando, Florida, attending the U.S. Travel Association's IPW Travel Conference. And that's where we met up with the folks from Universal Theme Parks. It's also where I got a chance to chat with Dennis Quinn. He is Senior VP of Sales for Universal Studios Hollywood. Universal Studios Hollywood is their website. So here is that conversation now, starting out talking about what's new to see at Universal Studios Hollywood.
Well, we have several things. First of all, the park, if you haven't been there in 7-8 years, there's probably, I think we've changed about 75% of the product that we have in the studio. We're constantly evolving our product. Right before the pandemic started, we had just opened Jurassic World The Ride. It's actually a reimagination of one of our most popular attractions in the park.
Yep.
It follows the Jurassic World film. It's a thrilling ride experience. It includes encounters with dinosaurs, raptors, and the climax is a battle between the Indominus Rex and her arch rival, the Tyrannosaurus Rex. Right before you take a surprise plunge at the end of the ride. So we just opened that. And then really when we reopened the park in 2021, we opened with The Secret Life of Pets Off the Leash, again based off of the hit film series. It's a great family attraction, an opportunity for young and all ages in the family to enjoy.
Yep.
I look forward to taking my my grandchildren on the ride. It includes sophisticated animatronics, the pets from the stories. It's the storyline is you get to see what pets do when you're not home, and you actually become a pet.
I've seen the movie. It's a very good movie. So if the ride is based on that, it would be a really, really fun experience.
It's a lot of fun.
So there's those two. Anything else? What about the logistics of the park itself, booking tickets and all the different options that people can
right.
do?
Well, you know, the best thing for a consumer to do is purchase their tickets in advance, work with members of the trade in Canada. You have travel agencies, CAA, other sellers of travel. Go to them and find best advice for what to do in the Southern California area. There's also value in pre-purchasing your tickets for Canadian visitors. You can't buy it in the U.S., but we have a second-day free offer if you buy through our trade partners in Canada. Always an important advantage to have. Sometimes you can't see all of the studio. And
it's
the
tough. It's very tough.
It's also a great way to start your visit. Check into your hotel and come over to the park. Enjoy the park and then get ready for a full day the next day.
Mm. Now, are there hotels tied in with the park?
We have partner hotels that we work with. There are two hotels that are on our property, the Hilton and the Universal Sheraton Hotel. And we also have great partner hotels around in the area, some that offer shuttles to the park, complimentary shuttles to the park every day.
Now, what do you get for the VIP experience? Or I'm trying to get the lingo here because there's so many theme parks.
Yes.
Because it seems to be changing all the time. So what do you have in place that people can buy, speed their process up?
Let me start with Universal Studios Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah.
Universal Studios Hollywood, we have the Universal Express Pass, which allows the users to the guests to bypass the regular lines.
Yeah,
it's a fantastic experience. Again, an important opportunity for guests to buy in advance. It does sell out, so you want to be able to buy that pass in advance. You can buy that through any of our trade partners. And then, as you mentioned, there is a VIP program that we offer that is the ultimate way to experience Universal Studios Hollywood.
Yeah.
It includes your own tour guide. You're generally in a small group with a tour guide, or you can request a private tour. You can do it for just you and your family or you and your friends.
Yeah.
It includes a gourmet meal. You'll arrive at the park arrive at our VIP lounge.
Oh, nice.
Have some breakfast refreshments, then take a tour of the park. And then there is a very special tour of our backlot studio.
Oh, nice.
So it's
cool.
Unique. You have your own separate trolley that you go around the backlot tour. You'll be able to get off the trolley, walk around some of the film set areas.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity for super Hollywood fans to get a little bit deeper into understanding the making of the movies and appreciating the history.
And I'm assuming that Orlando has a similar structure.
Orlando has a similar program with the Universal Express passes and a VIP tour.
Anything I've missed that you might want to add?
Well, one of the things that we're talking about here at the show here at IPW this year is the coming of Super Nintendo World to Universal Studios Hollywood.
Yep.
It's an expansion of our park. It'll open in early 2023. It's going to be an immersion into the gaming world of Super Nintendo. Our guests will have the opportunity to experience Mario Kart Bowser's Challenge. I think it's going to be the most technologically advanced ride in the world. It includes AV, AR, thank you, augmented reality. Augmented reality, mapping technology, live action sets, all on a moving track.
Cool.
That our guests get to interact with. So the guests will wear augmented reality goggles.
Oh, really? Hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it'll be a tremendous experience. There are other areas for the guests to enjoy within the land. You'll have power-up bands that you can do. Keep your score on the Mario Kart 5. But there are other challenges throughout the land.
That's great. Dennis Quinn is the Senior Vice President of Sales for Universal Studios Hollywood. Lots of information on your website, universalparks.com. It was fun chatting. We could go on and on and on, right? But time is always our enemy. I appreciate you doing this, Dennis. Thank you.
Randy, thank you.
And that That is this week's Informed Traveler podcast. Remember, this is the podcast version of the Informed Traveler radio show, which is heard each week on Chorus Radio. You can find more information on the show at our website, theinformedtraveler.org. So thanks for listening. If you like what you hear, let us know, leave a review, tell a friend, or you can drop me a line. My email is randy@theinformedtraveler.org. You can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/informedtraveler or follow me on Twitter at informedtraveler.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.